Welcome to the Coven.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Chilling Coven. I am your host, EJ Leeson. And with me today are my two awesome co-hosts. First up, the man with the plan, Airhorn Ross Jones. What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Just hanging out. What's up, baby?
Oh, this episode is cool. But yeah, there's just no funny moments in it, so I don't know what kind of notes I'm going to have for this.
I disagree. There's a lot of funny moments. I dug this episode very much.
I like it, but there's just not much funny.
Well, let's get to our other co-host. Go ahead. Yeah. What have you got to say?
Skip the introduction. I need no introductions.
No intro for Chris.
Yeah. Guys, that's Chris.
No introduction.
The other co-host. No introduction needed.
No introduction needed.
He's just the man with the plan.
So while I was... checking out some of these episodes here, I noticed that Ross gave himself his own nickname that I like a lot better than Airhorn, so I'm actually sticking with you.
What did I say?
Did you say Coltrane?
Coltrane, yeah.
Coltrane, yeah.
I'm sticking with that. He's like, it's Ross Coltrane Jones. I'm like, I like that. I'm sticking with you.
We're going to end up calling him Airhorn Coltrane Jones?
Coltrane Jones.
Airhorn is still in the house, but Coltrane is added to it.
Right.
Airhorn Coltrane Jones.
You're going to have 80 nicknames by the end of our podcast.
I have more.
Oh, my God. By the time we hit 50 episodes, he's going to have, 50 different names.
Probably.
Oh, man.
A lot of aliases.
But guys, tonight we're talking about the Chilling Coven, and we're talking about the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Yep. Chapter 5, Dreams in a Witch House.
Yeah, this episode was so cool. I loved it. It was written by Matthew Berry, directed by Maggie Kiley, she's known for directing episodes of Riverdale, The Gifted, Scream Queens, American Horror Story.
Okay, I heard of all those shows.
Man, she has a lot. Yeah. Of
stuff
that
she did. A lot of writing credits.
Yeah. What do you guys think of this episode?
I like it.
Or do you want to, wait and we'll talk about the episode first, and then we'll give our thoughts?
We'll give our thoughts at the end.
Chris.
Yeah, why not? We'll give our thoughts at the end.
All right, Chris, we'll start us off, my man.
Okay. So, the show starts out with Zelda and Hilda talking briefly about her excommunication.
Yeah.
Hilda says that she's thinking of applying to Cerebus's books.
Yeah.
Zelda questions this as Sabrina runs in screaming.
Yeah.
She tells them about the demon and says that she forgot the puzzle box in her room when Zelda says, if you released her, we can put her back in. The demon starts banging at the door, but they leave. Ambrose asks what's going on, and they tell him about the demon, and they say they have to seal the house to prevent it from escaping into the world.
Let's talk about what's going on with Ambrose. You see what he was about to do?
He was reading the magazine.
Yeah, he was about to read that magazine for sure.
Yeah, what magazine was that?
It was a porn magazine. And his hand was about to go in his pants. Did you guys not catch that?
I caught it.
I was just like, is everyone just going to skip over the fact that...
And I like the opening scene when Hilda says saucy. That's funny.
Saucy.
That's really funny.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. So the demon says that they are Spellmans. And Edward Spellman imprisoned her in the Acheron configuration for 70 years.
Yeah.
And the demon wants revenge to fill the world with all of her nightmares. So you find out that she's a nightmare demon or a sleep demon. Zelda does a... What?
No, I just thought... Okay, no, I just had to... I guess Roz isn't the only one who's going to go blind early, right? Ambrose, get it?
Oh, yeah, Ambrose, yeah.
Sorry, okay, go ahead.
What has the show turned into?
Sorry, go ahead.
So Zelda does a spell, and in the trailer we see that she traps it in an urn. Sabrina says she solved it because of a sketch, which would have been the Acheron configuration. We're led to believe that the sleep demon plagued Edwards for years, giving him nightmares before he eventually trapped it. Sabrina asks what would have happened if it did escape, and Hilda says, it would have separated everyone in their sleep and plagued them with nightmares until someone eventually set her free. Then we see the demon actually has escaped and started her own nightmares. Mm-hmm. Madam Satan sees her through that mirror. And we find out that Madame Satan is actually, or Miss Wardwell, is the mother of demons.
Right. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big reveal in that one. Mm-hmm. She says, do not harm Sabrina, but the demon refuses. The demon gets sidetracked when she sees Salem and tries to kill him. And the demon eventually smashes the mirror, severing Miss Wardwell's communication, or so she believes, with Sabrina.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I actually love... Wardwell is... she's like the MVP in this episode.
Yeah.
And I mean that, like, some of the scenes, like her just walking around the halls and stuff, into the different dreams... Mm-hmm. I was, like, cracking up laughing. She's like, oh, not the right place. But go ahead.
Sabrina's nightmare, essentially, so we start the nightmares. And her nightmare is that three weird sisters are at Baxter High.
Yeah.
Nick Scratch is hitting on her, which people would say isn't a nightmare.
But I have stuff to say.
Because everybody every time I see anything, everyone likes the guy that plays Nick Scratch. So most people would say that that's not a nightmare.
I have stuff to say about him.
All right, let's hear what you have to say about
it. Well, first, I love the scene when
Shady
Hilda...
Shady Satan.
I love the scene when Hilda tucks Sabrina into bed. Yeah, I feel like it's so sweet. I love Hilda's character and Sabrina in this show.
Yeah. Really do. Yeah, it's just cool.
Really do.
What were we calling him? Lion Satan? Lion Nick Scratch? That's a good name for him. Lion Nick Satan?
The devil.
The devil himself, yeah.
There's so many different ones.
No, Nick Scratch is definitely a stalker in this episode. I think he's really creepy.
Stalker?
Yeah.
And, he's like, hey, Sabrina.
And in this this nightmare, Harvey and Nick do not like each other, which we figure out probably that they probably wouldn't like each other in real life anyway.
Right, yeah, because they both are, you know, after the same chick.
And
so
Harvey,
I guess that makes sense.
Harvey asks Sabrina to marry him in this
nightmare. That scene. I like that scene, even though it's a dream. Even though it's in a nightmare dream.
Yeah, I was like, this isn't a nightmare so far. I don't know what they're...
Yeah. Me too, yeah. I'm like, well, this isn't a nightmare. This is pretty much what she wants.
Yeah.
So Zelda lectures her about it, and Zelda says she should be with Nick Scratch,
because
they don't know each other yet. We haven't had a formal introduction between these two, which maybe should have alarmed Sabrina in this dream anyway. Mm-hmm. But maybe she's not conscious of that. And it's her own little world.
She thinks it's real. She thinks it's real.
Sabrina is wearing her white dress on her wedding day.
Yeah.
And Sabrina tells Harvey that she's a witch.
Mm-hmm.
Harvey says that he loves her and it does not matter, which we find out later, kind of does.
Yeah.
Nick sees her and says, we should run away. Nick disappears, and her dad, who also is currently dead, walks her down the aisle.
Yeah.
Blackwood is presiding over the wedding. Harvey's family stops the wedding, and Harvey Kinkle just starts choking Sabrina violently, and they put her in some sort of torture device. It kind of looks like the Iron Maiden.
Yes, absolutely.
The demon appears and says to give her the spell to unseal her, and she will make the suffering stop.
Right. It's really weird because he's like, you're a witch. And then everyone starts standing up, and they're like, witch, witch, witch.
Which we've seen in the trailer.
Right, in the trailer, and it's funny, when we were doing the breakdown, we were like, oh, we think it's a dream sequence.
Yeah, that's
her getting put in the Iron Maiden thing. Like, it's probably all a dream. And then, boom. We were right.
Yes, we were. So Ambrose
Except
for Russ, yeah. Russ didn't have any notes for any of the two trailers.
I had no idea what was going to happen. I had no idea. I was going into it blindly.
Oh, like Russ.
Yeah. So Ambrose is playing with Salem to investigate someone stabbed with no friends or family and no one to miss him. So he eventually is told that he has to investigate this.
Right.
And we find out that it's actually Ambrose. Yeah. He starts to go a little bit crazy and actually bites his heart. And as he's leaving, he bumps into Miss Wardwell.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I like this scene when he's like, can I help you, madam? And she's like, I'm not looking for you. And he's all surprised, like, oh, you're not looking for me?
Yeah.
He's all surprised.
I also like how they keep saying madam, because we know what she's going to be.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Apparently, I didn't know. Well... I just figured this out. They make a Riverdale reference to Madame Satan in one of the episodes.
Yes, very early on. Kevin calls
someone Madame Satan.
I think it was
Satan.
Like Cheryl. He calls
Madame Satan. Satan. Yeah, he does. Yeah. He does. Yeah.
I think it's like episode one or two.
Yeah, that it's he makes super early.
Yeah.
So Blackwood actually lifts the curse on Ambrose. So he can leave the residence. He's no longer in house arrest.
Yeah.
Oh, and now he gets a ton of money.
Yeah, and I wish Ambrose was actually free and he was off house arrest. Oh. It sucks that it's just a dream.
Well, okay, so...
Well, you partially get your wish.
Yeah, well, it's really funny because... So, they're like, yep, you're free to go outside. You're a free man. You can fly wherever you want. Here's a pile of money. You're good to go. Yeah. Go ahead, walk out the door. Yeah. So he's like, all right. And he's like, walk in. And then he opens the door. And...
What?
The Bat-a-Bat attacks him.
Bat-a-Bat, yes.
The demon. She starts stabbing him to death.
Yeah.
And then when he wakes up, he's on the autopsy table.
Yeah.
And he sees himself... You know, performing the autopsy on himself.
Yes.
And he's just like, he can't say anything, but he's seeing and feeling everything that's going on.
And then the demon says, once again, to give her the spell, and she will end the torment.
And he just screams.
And then we get a little bit of the weirdest one to me, which is Hilda's. So apparently Hilda kind of has the hots for Hawthorne. I don't know if that's like a, thing.
Oh my gosh. There's so many funny things about this. So, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So then, of course, Miss Wardwell bursts in right when Hawthorne's getting a little too close with Hilda.
Yeah.
So she leaves after seeing if they've seen, like, Sabrina.
Yeah, Madame Satan's, like, faces wandering around in everyone's
perfect,
dream.
Yeah.
They're
Michelle Gomez
priceless.
Is great.
Priceless. Yeah, she's like... Like, her eyes are so animated, and her reactions are so funny.
Even, like, the last episode where she was, like, looking through the mirror, and she was like, seen enough of that.
Yeah, yeah. Not enough about that. All right.
So she leaves, and Hawthorne wants to cook for Hilda.
Yeah.
Zelda, of course, is very negative and has nothing good to say about Hilda, which is a common theme that we get through most of these episodes. Zelda actually gets, like, mean level times 1,000 and says that nobody could possibly love her, and Hilda smacks her right in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zelda's mouth then is sealed shut.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite Zelda zinger of the episode happens right before that, because she's getting ready to go on a date with Hawthorne. Yeah. Hilda's, like, getting all dolled up, and Zelda says... Does he even know that you're a virgin? I'm like, that's my favorite Zelda zinger of the episode. I think that's going to be a thing. I'm going to just look for Zelda zingers.
Yeah. Zelda has a lot of zingers.
She has so many.
She definitely does.
That's my favorite one of the episode.
Hilda and Hawthorne are having a good time, and Hawthorne says that he ate his brother in the womb. And Hawthorne lifts up his shirt, and Bob is in his stomach.
Yeah.
And it's very Nightmare on Elm Street 3, where you're like, Freddy takes off the thing, he's like,
children.
These are my children. It's like the same type of concept. It's like Bob's poking out through his freaking stomach.
My children.
I feel like Hawthorne looks like he didn't get a lot of sleep, and I feel like he went through hell and back, and he looks like the devil.
Oh, all right.
Interesting observation.
Good know, Ross.
That's what I see. I don't know.
Hawthorne's also a dream, and he's not real in this.
In the dream.
So, next thing we see is Zelda and Hilda are now conjoined together.
Yeah.
By it seems like what is kind of like a sewing.
They're attached.
Right. Yeah.
Just like very like Captain Howdy, like.
Yeah.
What was that called? Stranger?
What is it?
I forget what it's called. It's with Dee Snider.
Right. I know. I forget what it's called, but...
Me too.
Captain Howdy,
though, was the character.
Yeah, Strangeland, right?
Strangeland.
So I love the rooms looked familiar, right?
Yeah.
But within the show... They're, like, warped and arranged differently. Did you notice that? Because it's a nightmare. So, like, Sabrina's room was in the attic and stuff. Like, her furniture wasn't normal, like, how it normally is.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, the school, Hawthorne's office, the door's on the other side. Remember when Sabrina, like, is in the office, she runs out. And then, like, this, the way they shot it, like, the door is on the opposite side and the desk is, like, facing a different way. So it all looks familiar, but then it's all, like, rearranged.
Yeah, it's all rearranged.
Even, like, the stairwell at one point is, like, coming out from the kitchen. So you could see, like, all this stuff. So they probably spent a lot of time just decorating the sets to look, you know, and it really sells the dream, though. Oh, yeah. You're watching this, you're like, oh, it's a dream because that's not what that set normally looks like.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just me that did you guys notice that too?
Yeah, it's okay. Like, everything's all there, but it's all distorted.
Right.
Like, it's all there, but it's just like rearranged.
But that's like a real dream because you'll be like, I'm in my house, and then you go downstairs and you're at your job or something, and it doesn't make any sense, but that's how people dream.
And all the and all the colors that they use, like the purples and like
The lighting and the background. The lighting. It's lighting. Great.
It's all crazy.
Yeah.
It's all distorted. Yeah.
And then, the of course, the demon shows up and says the same thing that she's been saying to Hilda. Right.
Mm-hmm.
In Zelda's nightmare, she's teaching youngsters about the Dark Lord, and she finds out that the Dark Lord will take human form and honor them with his presence.
Yeah.
And she's essentially insinuates that she's gonna cook this kid, this really big kid,
Fergus.
She's cooking him, and that is gonna be the Dark Lord's meal because that is the Dark Lord's favorite.
Oh,
is burnt 6-year-old kid.
I think it's really funny. I think the Dark Lord's mustache is really hilarious.
Oh yeah. They give him like that vintage devil look from like the 70s with like the little goatee mustache and like the slick back hair and short horns.
I think that's funny.
Well, the Dark Lord shows up and hates Zelda's cooking and favors all of Hilda's. Zelda takes this really hard. We see a little bit of emotion coming out from Zelda because Zelda is very well dedicated to the Dark Lord.
Yeah.
So hard, in fact, that she kills Hilda. And that spells trouble for her because the Dark Lord actually returns 3 seconds later looking for Hilda.
I like the purples that they use in that scene.
Oh, yeah.
The colors they use for the background.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree.
I like that.
So Dark Lord questions Zelda over Hilda, and Zelda says, oh, that's okay, I killed her, it's my right, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
She's going to come back, and the Dark Lord actually informs her that Hilda's gone forever and now will not be resurrecting.
Yeah.
And the demon shows up and again says that she'll end it, she'll end the suffering, just give her the spell that binds the house.
I have two things I wanted to touch. First off, and I don't know if you guys noticed this in Hawthorne's office, he has a giant portrait of himself. Kind of like Hiram has of Veronica in Riverdale.
Yeah.
There's this just giant picture of himself like painted and he's just like posing. But Zelda's dream was literally my favorite. I thought Hilda's vegetable pie bit, like, she's like, I'm going to make him vegetable pie.
She's like,
for the Dark Lord, are you serious? It's the Dark Lord, and you're going to go with vegetable pie?
No, I like when the Dark Lord's like, that's my favorite, or that's the best vegetable pie I ever had.
Yes. And it's like winning over the Dark Lord, and she's like losing her mind because she's so devoted.
Yeah.
And she even says that. She's like, I've been so devoted my whole life, and you're excommunicated, and he likes your vegetable pie.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was literally laughing out loud, so hard.
And that scene gets like real weird because like he's trying to like, I don't even know what he's doing. Like he's talking to her like he's interested in her.
Right.
Like he's trying to like make something happen. Like
I love the duality of this scene, but like her dream, because it starts off I'm like cracking up laughing.
Yeah.
But then it out of like nowhere it becomes the saddest dream.
Yeah.
Because she's like sobbing uncontrollably at the thought of never getting her sister back.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh my god. And actually I was like feeling that. I was like, oh my god. Like, and it was really hitting me hard. And I thought that was like the coolest, just the best dream overall. I don't know. Yeah. Like, go ahead.
No, I definitely agree. I think it was the best one.
Yeah.
So in the Iron Maiden torture device. Miss Wardwell shows up and lets her know that the sleep demon is actually torturing her. Mm-hmm. Wardwell will wake her up, but she has to run. Wardwell picks up her voodoo doll and stabs Sabrina, and Sabrina wakes up screaming.
Yeah.
Sabrina is cagey enough to take the Acheron configuration and then tries to wake up Ambrose before eventually failing.
Oh, yeah. I like this. I put, like, Ambrose must be in a deep sleep in this scene when Sabrina tries to wake him up, because he's not even moving. He's just, like, sleeping. Like, he doesn't even hear her.
That seems, yeah.
He must be in a deep sleep.
Sabrina chooses not to run. She's going to fight Batty Bat. Yeah. And that is the sleep demon.
Yeah.
Sabrina tries to do a spell, but it doesn't work in the configuration breaks. Mm-hmm. Salem distracts the demon as Sabrina escapes. Mm. She decides that her best point of action is to actually go back to sleep. That way she can get into everybody's nightmares and try to wake them up from it.
Right.
So she eventually casts herself as an apparition to lead Batty Bat away. She goes to Zelda first and lets her know that it's just a nightmare and she has to wake up. Which reminds me kind of Nightmare on Elm Street. It's only a dream.
Right.
Just like very like...
Yeah.
Like Nightmare on Elm Street. I love it.
There was a lot of...
They were definitely inspired. Had to be definitely inspired.
Oh, 100%. There's so much. Warriors. Which is awesome. So Zelda is so broken up about it. About losing Hilda, she cannot help her. So her next course of action is to go to Hilda. Hilda tells her that she's going to need to trap her by using her familiars. So Sabrina's going to have to use Hilda's familiars.
Mm-hmm.
When she goes to Ambrose to explain it in his nightmare, he says that he's going to help distract her. So when she comes down, it actually turns into Salem. You guys notice that?
Yeah.
Like it turns into Salem, and Salem, I guess, is able to cloak himself? Like disguise himself as others? Did I see that wrong?
When the Bat-A-Bat is chasing the fake Sabrina, right? She put, I forget what, the Bat-A-Bat says what kind of charming spell it was, mm-hmm. but like...
Yeah, she's caught off guard by it.
Right, because she thinks it's Sabrina.
It's Sabrina. That she's
but then it transforms back into Salem.
Yeah.
It's a spell, I forget, she says exactly what it was, mm-hmm. but I forget exactly what... She said. But anyways, Sabrina was the one that cast the spell to make like Salem look like her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ambrose says that he will tell Batty Bat the spell. She comes face to face with Sabrina, and she uses a spell with the spiders to mm-hmm. bind her in a web.
Right.
So she says that dream catchers don't catch dreams, but they catch nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone starts to wake up one by one.
Mm-hmm.
Sabrina calls Harvey after, so like the Batty Bat is done. She is trapped.
Right.
She calls Harvey and asks if he'd ever hurt her. He's also blindsided by this. And then she pays Miss Wardwell a visit, and she wants to know the truth about who and what Miss Wardwell is.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the end of the episode.
That's where it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is crazy. So what did you guys think about this episode?
I liked it. I just wish it more of the episode was about other things and not just like in the dream sequence the whole episode. Like I wish they put more into it and not just have it be the dream sequence the whole episode. I feel like it could have been better if they went out of the dream sequence a little bit.
I kind of disagree. I actually thought this was a really cool episode.
Yeah, I like
it. It's a very... one-shot story.
Yeah.
But I really, really dug it. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
Like I said, my favorite aspect of the show is the family dynamic, and we get to see that a lot.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cool character development
mm-hmm.
in this, because you see what is actually torturing each of them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From the Sabrina fighting her more, mortal life to in her witch life and like trying to keep those separate. And when mm-hmm. she does have them cross over, it turns into a nightmare.
Yeah.
Hilda can't get away from her sister. Like, she feels attached.
Trapped.
Feels yeah, trapped attached to the hip. Packed. You know what I mean? And she can't escape her.
Yeah.
And then Zelda, however, loves her sister more than anything. Mm. And she loves the Dark Lord. But in reality, her family, she actually loves more.
Yeah.
And
you get to see an emotional side of Zelda that you never get to see in anything else.
Exactly. I thought that was the best part.
Yeah. She's a good actor.
Yeah. And then Ambrose just feels alone and isolated and has no one or anything.
Yeah.
Which is my sister-in-law's favorite character.
Oh, I love Ambrose.
I love Ambrose. He's good.
Yeah. And like, so all of them have these things that they're dealing with, mm-hmm. like this inner turmoil.
Turmoil.
Like, I think this episode really shows the audience to give like a deeper look at mm-hmm. these characters.
Yeah, I
really enjoyed it, and I thought it was cool to have a practical looking demon, not like some CGI demon. I love that they used like makeup on it. I don't know where I would rank this because I feel like the Dark Baptism is still, like the second episode is still my favorite.
I feel like the other ones are still above this episode, but this is like a really good episode.
Yeah. How about you, Chris?
I still think 3 is the best.
3?
I think Trial's the best.
Well, yeah.
I think 3's like the best. 2's right there.
Yeah.
4. 1.
I can't even remember what happened in 4.
What did happen in 4?
I don't remember.
I can't remember. I gotta watch them all. Man.
I don't remember. Wait,
what did happen in 4?
I know she went to the school and the harrowing and...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When she went to the school for the first time.
So, I mean, I would say 3, 2, 4, 1. 5, 1.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair. I don't know.
I'm not crapping on the pilot. The pilot is what pilot is.
Yeah.
How about Ross? You want to hit us up with some Easter eggs
for this episode? coming from the Sabrina soundtrack, they used the song "Dream a Little Dream" by Ozzie Nelson and "Dream a Little Dream" by Doris Day.
Right. Yeah. I love. That's probably one of my favorite songs of all time.
I like the music of this series.
I do too.
For this show.
My favorite version of Dream a Little Dream of Me is probably Dean Martin.
Yeah.
Dean Martin. Go ahead.
And then, alas, poor Ambrose. I knew him well, a fellow of infinite guest, of excellent fancy. This is a famous line from Hamlet, when Hamlet is in the graveyard and discovers the skull of Hamlet.
Yes, that's one of my favorite scenes. Hamlet is going to the graveyard, and he comes across a gravedigger.
Yeah.
And the gravedigger is like, oh, yeah, this was a jester. And then Hamlet remembers him from his childhood, and he picks up the skull. Yeah. And that's, like, the famous thing of this play. So I love that whole monologue that he gives about Yorick.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool.
And then the title of this episode, Dreams of a Witch House, makes a reference to the short story by H.P. Lovecraft.
Yes, it does. That's true. No, so of course, we do have our witches' notes. And there is so much, and hopefully I'm going to pronounce...
He's
going
to pronounce them all very badly, but to be fair, mm-hmm. nobody in this room can pronounce these.
Yeah,
so that's why I'm doing it.
So that's why he's doing it. We all drew straws. EJ got the
one. No, you guys just threw me. Like, you guys just threw me into it.
You see that yellow and black bus over there that's right. over you?
Yep. And
I'm under it. This is really in-depth witch notes, so keep your fingers crossed.
All right. So then, Batabat is a vengeful demon found in the Locano folklore in the Philippines. It takes the form of an old woman and sits on the chest of a sleeping victim until they suffocate.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm not sure, but was Wes Craven inspired by that or no? Or was that something else?
I don't know. There's so many bad things that are going through my head with that, so I'm just going to shut up. For the sake of everybody, I'm just shutting up.
No, I think... No. You know what? Because, our friendly neighborhood witch told us that it was a real disease called sudden unexpected nocturnal death syndrome or something.
Wow.
Do you remember
that's
that?
A lot.
Okay, anyways.
I wasn't alive in 1984, like some people.
All right, I don't know. I'm just saying.
I remember that was going around in 84.
I wasn't around either.
All right. So when they seal the house, the Latin phrase that they speak, ex spiritibus inum citeris quo omnipotentium tuam parsindo clavum ad ostium legit diabolum hunc hac captionum et de amonon ab grandis cincino roughly translates to, oh my god, that was so hard, guys. that doesn't translate to that. It translates to spirits of the air who reveal your omnipotence above all by sparing the key. Bind this opening. This trap will sew the grand lock. Now, Zelda spell, as she holds the urn right in the beginning, and yeah, she captures the Batabat.
Yeah.
Well, her spell, Turpis et Infernus in Terris Perinunt, Adario vas tamen hoc gasas munas, roughly translates to Hell on Earth and Ugly, however I charge you, this Greek office. So, meaning, I charge you to this urn, and it captures it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Harvey, while he's choking Sabrina on the altar, he's like, why did you have to tell me you're a witch, you know?
Why'd you have to tell them?
And so, he actually says this, thou shall not suffer a witch to live, which appears in Exodus 22:18 of the King James Bible.
Oh.
Yeah.
King James edition.
Right.
Yeah.
Harvey pushes Sabrina into an Iron Maiden. Now, this is a fictional device. The Iron Maiden is an upright tomb-sized container with folding doors used to enclose the captor.
Yeah.
Captive.
Sorry. I don't even
The inside of the doors were covered in long spikes. The victim was placed inside. When the door was shut, the spikes would stab the length of the victim's body.
Yeah.
This did not kill the victim instantly, but caused a slow and painful death.
Yeah.
Historians have ascertained that Johann Philipp Siebenkees made up the history of the device.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Wardwell proceeds to walk through the spellman's dreams. Now, dream walking is when someone who has honed their abilities and skills decides to enter someone else's dream, whereas lucid dreamers are able to remember their waking lives to think clearly and act deliberately while experiencing their own dream. Now, if you want an example of dream walking, I would say watch the movie Dream Warriors, where one of them has the ability to hop into others' dreams.
Yes, Kristen.
Right. And they are called the Dream Warriors, and I will say this. Dream Warriors, don't want to dream no more.
Dream
maybe tonight,
Warriors.
Maybe tonight they'll be gone. Okay. Zelda tells the children an alternate version of the story of the Tree of Knowledge, Good and Evil, from Genesis chapters 2 through 3 of the Bible. She's talking about Eve taking the apple to gain knowledge and the false god, trying to stop her from doing that.
Yeah.
Now, continuing with this biblical theme, Zelda and Hilda present their dinner to the Dark Lord, drawing similarities to the story of Cain and Abel from chapter 4 of Genesis. In the Bible, God chooses Abel's sacrifice over Cain's, and, in a rage, Cain slays his brother. God then returns to Cain, and the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I do not know. I am my brother's keeper." Meaning, like, am I my brother's keeper?
Yeah. I heard that before. Yeah.
Right. Which is almost exactly what Zelda replies to the Dark Lord when he asks where Hilda is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, Wardwell uses a puppet, a poppet, to wake Sabrina. She pricks its fingers with a needle, which Sabrina feels. Yeah. Now, we can safely assume that the hair and nail clippings went into the making of this doll. So that way she could use it.
Use it in an olfactor.
Right. Now, exilum means exile, Sabrina's banishment spell.
Yeah, which is more exile to banish.
Right.
Is that what that means?
She uses the spell in Latin, "To me, missisti et contention sent causa doloris," translates to, "Thou didst send me, you are the source of my sorrow and contentions." And finally, Sabrina catches the Bat-a-Bat in a dream catcher. It originates in Ajbawa, which the culture, as a spiderweb charm. And it's believed that these protective charms catch any harm that would come to the owner. So, like a dream catcher. And I believe it's Ajbawa.
Hmm. Yeah. Nice.
Ajbawa. Cool. And that is all the witch's notes, you guys.
That's a lot of in-depth witch notes.
That really was in-depth. I did not even think about Cain and Abel in that.
Oh, right. Well, like the...
That's almost a 100% parallel, yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's 100% parallel. It's funny because, you know, they're talking about the Garden of Eden and everything. Yeah. And then that happens. I'm like, oh, I see what's up here. Yeah, you know, I'm seeing what's going on. I'm very excited for the next one.
Yeah.
I feel like now it'll probably get more into that final story arc.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything we've seen...
We're passing the chapter now.
Like, right. Maybe. I think everything we've seen up until this point is setting stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel this was to give us more in depth of those characters.
Yeah.
And now we'll see more, especially with Wardwell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out in the open now. Everyone knows, well, at least Sabrina knows she's a witch.
Yeah.
You know? Or something.
Something.
Right. What do you think of the Bat-a-Bat? Would you want to see that creature return, or do you think it was a one-shot deal?
Well, I think it could actually possibly be beneficial in the long run in some way, maybe.
Yeah, right. I think it'd be cool if they brought it back.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool as a reoccurring
character.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this thing obviously hates Spellmans. Like, she's like, I smell the Spellman blood on all of you.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like she's a big fan of Madame Satan at this point either.
Well, yeah, she went against, like, the Dark Lord and Madame Satan, and she's a demon. Yeah. So she's kind of like, hey, I'm running this on my own.
Yeah.
So that might not bode well for her.
Russ, what would you like to plug, my man?
If you could follow us on Twitter, at Chilling Coven. If you got any questions or recommendations for episodes or whatever thoughts you have, email us at chillingcoven@gmail.com. Thanks to our friendly neighborhood witch for giving us the 411 and all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
Witchcraft stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And for our season finale, we're going to be going to Salem and recording in Salem for our season finale. So,
yes.
Can't wait for that. What do you think?
Yeah, guys, we will be covering, obviously, the Sabrina special that's going to be coming out in December.
The Christmas episode?
We're forewarning ourselves here that something, I'm sure, is going to get revealed that's going to spoil everything else.
Yeah, hopefully they don't.
So we're hoping not.
Hopefully they
don't. But probably.
Probably. And then
And then season two doesn't start till April 5th of 2019. So.
Yes.
So we'll have a while in between there. We'll figure something out.
I was thinking we could probably watch one of the...
Sabrina the Teenage Witch shows?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe... They have like a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah.
Where I think she goes to Hawaii or something.
Okay.
We'll could probably watch one of those.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Quick question, yes or no?
Yes.
Does Melissa Joan Hart need a cameo?
I say yes. I think it'd be cool, but it doesn't really matter if she
I say yes.
Yes.
I say cameo.
I would love to see her, Harvey Kinkle, and either of the aunts show up.
Give them a cameo.
Yeah.
I don't think it would matter. I think it's just more of everyone's like, oh, okay. She's not obviously going to be playing Sabrina, but it would just be kind of cool to see her in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say yes on that. Yeah, other people are like, well, you can't do that because people are going to think she's Sabrina. It's like, no, we're aware it's a...
Yeah.
We're aware. People make cameos all the time because it's like, oh, wow, you're paying homage to...
Well, I want to see a crossover between Riverdale and Sabrina.
No, guys, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks a lot.
We hope you enjoyed yourselves. We certainly enjoy ourselves every time we come out and do this show.
Yeah. Hope you enjoy the episode.
Yeah. And Chris, what do you guys say?
I guess it is time to fly.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.